don't you? Just thinking of all the people we know that they don't know whether if they step out in the turn, they'd be right with God. Amen?
You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in Exodus chapter number 16. Exodus chapter number 16. Let me say what a joy it is for me to have been here these days. And it's been such a treat. I sort of got stormed out of my double time here. September, I have come to Calvary twice. I don't know, for umpteen million years. I've been here so much they take me off for taxes. Do not hate to come to Calvary Baptist Church. We thank the Lord for what God is doing here and how He so arranged this meeting and everything about it. It's just such a blessing. Things run so smoothly. Of course, you got a Marine at the bottom of it, so you got to run right. I don't have but two or three best friends, and your pastor's one of them. Y'all know that. We thank the Lord for him and his kindness and all that this church means to me. The music's been so good and the food and just everything has gone together to make it so enjoyable and such a blessing. We thank the Lord for it. And then these girls, they're so good singing and such a blessing. And Jessica's been such a help to us this past year in designing a study website for us. I don't know if any of you would be interested in that. Most people get all they need at church. But for you weird ducks that just don't get enough, we have a ongoing Bible study on a weekly basis on the internet. We're studying verse by verse, word by word through the Psalms. And we're also studying all the times that in Christ is mentioned. And we would be honored for you to come there and study on that site with us. We have some bookmarks with that web address on it. And Jessica's been such a help in designing that and overseeing it for us. So if we can be of any help there to you. And then it's been such a blessing to be with these other preachers. My, haven't they helped us this week? And directing our attention to the Lord. And they've just been so fresh and new. I tell you, Brother Dana and Brother Bob, such deep preachers, I tell you. Beth said, if you've heard me once, you've heard me. I say the same thing every night. I say, I'm in Christ and He's in me. I've got a million different ways to say it. I'm going to keep saying it until I die. Maybe somebody will hear me. And start doing less and accomplishing more. Tonight, if we could, I'd like to just make a finishing thought on the subject of the Holy Ghost. We have been just leaning upon that little phrase, all is vain, and lest the Spirit of the Holy One come down. And we've just been trying to look at what the Holy One's like. We mentioned that He's like the dove. Of course, if the Holy Ghost comes, He'll manifest Christ, not Himself. That dove, He would manifest the controlling work of Christ. He's like the wind. The wind of the Holy Ghost comes, He'll manifest the convincing work of Christ. On last evening, I thank Him for helping us around here last night as we looked at the fact that He's like the rain. He'll produce the constructing work of Christ. If I could tonight, I'd like to look in Exodus chapter 16 and bring this thought to our hearts tonight. That He's like the dew. He's like the dew. The dew of God comes upon us tonight. It will produce the conforming work of Christ. The Holy Ghost comes down upon you in the form of dew. He will leave the likeness of Christ upon you. Dew is found in a dark night. When the earth is warm, draws that water to the ground, blankets the ground in nourishment. Oh, Lord, give us a warm heart for God that would draw the dew of the Holy Ghost upon us. Cause us to be nourished into the likeness of Christ. What's he like, preacher? He's like the dew. Looking at two or three passages where dew is mentioned. One here in Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 13. The Bible says, and it came to pass that at evening quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning, the dew lay round about the host. Israel's been murmuring about God's provision. Instead of sending them to hell, he sent the dew. It's weird, isn't it? Verse 14, and said, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, small as the hoarfrost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. Little word, manna is, what is it? Dew has been lifted up. The Holy Ghost lifts, he'll reveal. They said, what is it? The Bible said, and Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. I want to look at this text tonight about dew and put a thought or two in our hearts about we need dew tonight on our proclamation. We need dew on our proclamation. I hear a lot of good singing and good preaching, but I don't believe a word of it. How come? Or a little of it has juice on it, dew on it. We need dew on our proclamation. This manna tonight is, Moses said, the bread of heaven. It is a picture of the inspired Word of God. I didn't know if you know it or not, but if you got your Bible with you tonight, you got your manna laying in your lap. And oh, tonight, in order to understand the Bible, understand the Word of God, this manna was covered up with dew. They couldn't tell what it was. But when that dew lifted up, Moses said, why, that's the bread come down from heaven. Oh, tonight the dew of God will give us a revelation of the inspired Word of God. Of course, I would remind you tonight that the Holy Ghost don't come down on closed Bibles. Might be awful deep, it may be over your head. But you can't get this book by osmosis. You cannot put it under your pillow at night thinking you're going to get it. It must be
opened. And then the dew of God will fall on you and give you understanding. I don't know. I'm sure some of you don't like him. It don't matter to me if you don't like him. I like him myself. John MacArthur, somebody asked him not long ago what he did for his devotional life. He said he didn't have none. I thought that was interesting. A preacher don't have no devotional life. He said he didn't have none. He said he spent 50 to 60 hours a week in the Word of God. Said he just didn't have time to have devotions. I would to God some of you would spend 50 to 60 hours a week in the Word of God. Oh, then the dew of heaven would fall upon you. Oh, he does not come down upon closed Bibles. I'm not too much, I guess you've noticed, I'm not too much of a defender of the King James Bible. I've always been shied away from defending the King James Bible. Don't preach out of nothing but the King James Bible. But this book needs no defense. You're wasting your time if you're defending this book. You're wasting your... Hey, you're 400 years too late if you're defending this book. This is a cage lion here. All you have to do is open it, and it'll defend itself. Most people I find that is defending this book tonight, it's because they've got it closed. You open it, it'll defend itself. If somebody breaks in your house at night, it may be dark in there. They can't see you, and you can't see them. You can holler all you want to. I got a gun, I got a gun, I got a gun. Ain't going to scare them too much. But if they hear that thing cock, business will pick up. Oh, instead of telling the world and the devil you got a King James Bible, why don't you try cocking it? There is when the dew of heaven will fall. And you will see this book. It is not in your testimony. It is not in what you think. It is not in your verbiage. It is when we take this pure book and put it into the hearts of men and women that God will produce life in them. Oh, here, do fail. There was a revelation of the inspired Word of God. But I realize tonight, this manna we're talking about, we need dew on a proclamation. I realize tonight that this manna, not only a picture of the inspired Word, the written Word of God, but it is a picture of the incarnate Word, Christ Himself. Whoa, incarnation is a spirit that became flesh, is what Webster's defines, incarnation. I notice in this text there is an interesting sequence. You'd almost think that God wrote the Bible the way he crosses his T's, dots his I's. Do you remember in John's Gospel, chapter number 1, verse number 1, he said this, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." Do you remember that? Then in verse 14, he said, "And the Word became flesh, tabernacled among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father." This one who was the Word, who was God, who came down tabernacle among us, we beheld His glory. A few verses and chapters later, He said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven. Unless a man eat me and drink me, he hath no life." That's what John said. Well, either John knew Moses, or Moses knew John, because they use the same sequence in their text. You got it there in front of you? Chapter number 16, verse number 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, there is the word of God. Look at verse number 10. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. We got God saying something. We've got a word. We got glory falling. And then in verse 15, they said, it is manna, the bread come down out of heaven. Oh, I tell you, this manna is not only the written word, the inspired word of God, but it is the wonderful word, the incarnate Christ himself. Oh, I love the hound out of that, don't you? That turns my cranks. I tell you what we need tonight. We need dew on our proclamation of the Word of God tonight. I notice in this text, if you've got it there in front of you, he said in verse 14, he said this dew was a small round thing. Matter of fact, he says down in verse 31, house of Israel called the name thereof manna, like cardus seed, white. Taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Hey, don't pinch me and wake me up. I believe that manna was like them cinnamon buns with icing on it. That's my picture of it. I'm sorry. I can't get nothing else in my mind when I think of it. It's just forever indelibly impressed there. He said it's a small, round thing. You know, I was thinking, how in this world could you get the inspired, written word in a small, round? Let alone, how could you get the very God of gods in a small, round thing? Especially, preacher, if you're going to play your type out right. I mean, this is manna. You said it's a picture of the written word. Now you tell us that it's a picture of the incarnate word Christ. It says it's a small, round thing. Well, I come across this not long ago. And don't ask me to bring this closer to you, because if I brought it closer to you, it wouldn't make no more difference to you than if you're looking at it from here. That little frame right there has the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelations in a small square. Whoa! Matter of fact, they're putting the thing on a CD-ROM now. You can get all 66 books and place it in a small, round thing. I tell you, I'm getting excited. I tell you, he's much bigger than you think. Some of you think you've got the small end of something big and you're a waving the other end. I got bad news for you. You have got the small end of something big, but the other end's a waving you. You ain't a never waved it. Huh? Oh, if we want juice on our proclamation, we must quit preaching a little God. Or there'll be no juice on what we're saying. Oh, but how about him being the incarnate Christ in a small, round thing? Moses, right in Genesis, it said that her seed will bruise the head of the serpent's seed. I've often wondered if Moses read his eighth grade science book, because a woman don't have a seed. She has an egg. Hello. But he said she was going to have a seed. Years later, the Bible said that the Holy Ghost came and put a seed inside of the Virgin Mary. You say big deal. I should say a big deal. Do you know what size a man's seed is? A man's seed is 1/1,000th of a centimeter. What? Take you a centimeter and cut it in 1,000,000 pieces and get you 1 of the 1,000,000 pieces. That's a man's seed. And the God of glory compacted himself into an area of 1 mil. That blows my mind. Oh, I'm talking about a big God, able to get in a small place, but not to take and put this word in a small area, or that Christ could come and get inside of a man's seed, but God, as big as he is, could come and get inside of me and produce Christ's likeness in me. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, we need to make God big and man little. We need to make God divine, man depraved. We need to give God all the choices and man no choices. And the dew of heaven will come down upon our proclamation. Oh, we need dew tonight. Where do we need it, preacher? We need it on our proclamation. You got your Bible there? Another passage of Scripture where dew is mentioned. Judges, chapter number 6. Not only do we need dew on our proclamation, but we need dew on our praying. We need dew on our praying. You know the story in Judges chapter 6. This is Gideon's story. God told him to go down there and take the Midianites. He said, I've already given them into your hand. Moses is a little doubtful. He did that fleece trick. Laid it out there. Said, make it wet, be dry all around it with dew. Next morning he asked him, make it wet all around, make the fleece dry. You remember the story. There's a picture of praying. Gideon is crying out to God. And this dew is involved in the story. You got it there? Chapter number 6 and verse number 36. Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou said, behold, I'll put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand as thou said. And it was so, for he arose up early the next morning, thrust the fleece together, and wring the dew out of the fleece, and a bowl full of water. Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be not against me. I will speak but this once, lest me prove. I pray thee but this once with this fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece. Upon all the ground let there be dew. God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only. There was dew on all the ground. I'm talking about we need dew on our praying. There's only two occasions in the New Testament where it mentions praying in the Holy Ghost. I was a wondering night, you ever prayed in the Holy Ghost? You ever prayed with any dew on it? I'm going to make a statement, and I know it's going to confuse you. There's a lot of things I say. I don't know if you've noticed it or not. It confuses you. I don't purposefully do it. It's just the way it comes out of me. I don't know that I have ever in my life really prayed more than 2 or 3 times. What? You don't pray? Oh, I pray all the time. I said, I don't know if there has ever been more than 2 or 3 times in my life when I really prayed. Really prayed. I'm talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. What are you talking about praying in the Holy Ghost? I'm talking about praying that is accompanied by an unshakable burden. Gideon's got an unshakable burden on him. He cannot get rid of it. But not only is it accompanied with an unshakable burden, but you are praying with the confidence that you already have what you're asking for, and there's absolutely no visible evidence that you've got nothing. And God's asking you to get up off your feet and act like you got it. It's only been 2 or 3 times when God's let me pray like that, and I have had a spell. I'm talking about having dew on our praying. I notice in this text and accompanying a text in the scriptures, it involves earnest praying. Earnest praying. James said that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man doeth what? It availeth, it overcometh. Much. I love what Paul said about praying in the Holy Ghost. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for or how we ought to pray. There'll be two things that'll be true of you if you're praying in the Holy Ghost. You don't know what to pray for, and you don't know how to pray. Most Baptists that I meet, they know what to pray for and they know how to pray, but they ain't getting no prayers answered. See, you got to come to God clueless. That's the way Gideon has come. He ain't got a clue. I like clueless people. You become clueless, don't know how to pray, and don't know what to pray for. All business will pick up. It says here, praying in the Holy Ghost, and did he help us our infirmity? We know not what we should pray for or how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession. You're not saying anything. You got your mouth shut. You're lost for words. You're clueless, but the Holy Ghost is groaning inside of you. Earnest. You say, preacher, how in the world do you get that kind of praying out of what Gideon did? Well, watch it, watch it, watch it. Look here at verse 38. And it was so, for he arose up the morrow, thrust the fleece together, ring. I'm interested in that little word, ring. It means to squeeze while groaning. I love the hound out of it. How, what is Moses doing? Not Gideon, he's doing. You got a clue what to do about taking those Midianites. Oh, what is he doing, preacher? What did he get for it? Got a bowl full of dew. Oh, I love the hound out of it. And the assurance that the Midianites was a done deal. Oh, I like earnest prayer, don't you? I love to pray when God has assured you that it is already done. I'm talking about earnest prayer, but I'm talking about effectual prayer. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. They taught me in Bible school. That was over 30 years ago. Oh, gracious, been longer than that now. Oh, Lord God, I don't even want to count now. I got to thinking how old he is, and oh, my, it's much longer than that. I was telling a little white lie when I said 30. But I remember them teaching me there's three answers to prayer, yes, no, and wait. You ever been taught that? Ever since I got out of Bible school, I'm still looking for that in the Bible. I ain't found it yet. I didn't know if you know it or not, but it ain't in there. It sounds nice. It makes you feel warm and fuzzy all over. It ain't a word of it true. Ain't a word of it true. I mean, it may give you some comfort and some consolation while there ain't nothing happening around you. But I did find this little text in the Bible. This one's in 1 John chapter 5, and this one's real clear. It says this: this is the comfort that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, and He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. He said, if you asked Him anything and you got the confidence in your heart that He heard you, it's a done deal. You got it. Oh, I love that, don't you? Oh, what do we need on our prayers tonight? We need to find out what heaven wants to do and join them in prayer. Isn't that what the Lord said in His in the priestly prayer, in the Lord's prayer? He said, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, if we get our prayer, keep our mouth shut till God tells us what He wants to do in heaven, and then join Him in that prayer. Oh, it'll work. Oh, we need to do on our prayer. See, when Gideon did this last little deal, it was a waste of time. Did you notice where all that dew went? It went all over the ground. Gideon had a hard time collecting that dew. It was a waste. I'm not against putting out fleece. If you want to put out a fleece, put one out. I guarantee you God can wet half of it, drench half of it, dry half of it. He can do whatever you need to do to it. Just remember this. It is a manifestation of your doubts. And if you'll come at Him from that angle that you're just full of unbelief, He'll probably meet you and wet the whole thing for you. Oh, but I'd just rather have the assurance of the Holy Ghost inside of me that it's a done deal, and pray with the dew of God on the prayer. We need dew on our proclamation. We need dew on our praying. Could I mention one last text? And I'll be done. In Psalms 133. Psalms 133. Not only do we need dew on our proclamation, we need dew on our praying. We need dew on our pews. This ain't the only place that needs dew. If you get dew up here and you get dew out there, business will pick up. Oh, business will pick up. I'm talking about dew on the pew, on the people. I notice in this text, in this dew upon the people or upon the pew, there is a beholding unity. He says in verse number 1, behold how good, how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Oh, what in the world happened if we all in unity, one accord? God said, I'll unleash a dew on you. Whoa. What does it mean to be in unity? The little word means oneness. Does that mean everybody looks alike? Everybody's got a jean jumper on? Everybody's got their hair cut the same way? Huh? Is that what it means? Lord God, no. We maintain our individuality. All of us are strange and quar and weird from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. But if we're in unity, we're all on the same page. We all have the same focus. We're looking for Jesus in our babblings. He is the focus. If all are in oneness, that little word unity that David uses here, the little word indicates that it has the idea that all is by Him, all is for Him, and all is with Him. If I'm in one accord, there's nothing between this way, there's nothing between this way. And when it happens, whether it be an individual, whether it be a family, whether it be a church, God said, I'll bring the dew down. There's unity. Beholding unity. But I see not only a beholding unity, I see a blessed unity. He says here in verse number 3, he says, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there, hey, where's the there at? Where there's unity. There, the Lord commanded the blessing. Did you notice blessing don't have an S on it? Just one blessing. That's interesting, wouldn't it? You'd almost think God wrote the Bible. Crossing his T's, dotting his I's, even life forevermore. Hey, I'm talking about a blessed unity. Pray tell, why has he brought up this Hermon deal as the dew of Hermon? I'd say it was a good place to bring it up. It's the highest dew point in the world at Mount Hermon. They tell me that you can stand at the base of Mount Hermon. You do not have to climb Mount Hermon. Just stand at the base of it almost 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. He'll drench you. I love the hound out of that. You know what we need Sunday at Calvary Baptist Church? You know what we need Sunday over in Antioch at Merritt Island? Brother Bob, brother, what we need a high dew point about 11 o'clock. I tell you what, you had a high, you got the crowd there all week. They're on the same page. They're in unity. The man of God's got dew on him. What in the world's God going to do? He says, there the Lord commanded the past tense, past action, guaranteeing a present result. The blessing, even life forevermore. That little word blessing, very akin to the word promise. I didn't know if you know it or not, but there are 31,000 promises in the Bible. 31,000 promises in the Bible. Only one called the promise. Only one. All the rest of them are just promises. Never, ever, 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 ever calls but one of them the promise. He refers to it on three different occasions. Once in Luke 24, once in Acts chapter number 1, once in Galatians chapter number 3. He says, and I will give you the promise of the Holy Ghost. He calls him the promise. Hey, if you get the promise, I am just dumb enough to believe that you'll have the other 30,999 promises if you've got the promise. I ain't a wanting a blessing. I'm a wanting a blesser. I'm not a wanting a gift. I'm a wanting the giver tonight. Oh, how can we get the dew tonight? When we've got dew on our proclamation, when we've got dew upon our praying, when we've got dew upon our people. And I asked you a nosy question. You know what I'm going to ask you. I've asked you every night. You got any dew on you? Do you remember what I said about dew? It will produce or manifest the conforming work of Christ. You're sitting there right now. Some of you are running through your mind, I don't know. Got to do on me or not? Let me ask you this. Do you have any evidence you're starting to act like Jesus? Do you see any evidence in you that you're starting to look like him, act like him, talk like him, walk like him? You say, preacher, I tell you the truth, I don't see no evidence at all. I'm still the same old mean old person I've ever been. I tell you what, I would check up tonight and see if I've got him before I'd even think about getting any dew on me. But if you've got the dew on you, he will produce the likeness of Christ in you. I'm going to close tonight with a crude, I'm talking about as crude can be, dumb, stupid, probably will not make any sense. I'm sure. Well, I take it back. I don't know. I'm really afraid to even use this illustration lest I confuse Yankees, Southerners, and everything in between. But I'm going to take a shot at it. I'm going to ask you a question. If you have any familiarity with this subject at all, I mean, if you've ever just looked at it or even ever just put it in your mouth, I was wondering if you'd raise your hand so I'd at least know that I'm talking to people that I might could make this illustration work well. Do you have any recollection of all about collard greens? Lord God, we done come home, we done come home, we done come home. Some of you are getting hungry right now. Just imagine I cooked some Thanksgiving and Christmas with a ham hock in them. Oh, I used to hate them. I thought that they was the most horrible thing I'd ever put in my mouth. But I matured into them. I even love to smell them cooking now. I remember years ago when I cooked my first collard greens. I called my mama. I've been a collard green cooker, my grandma, since I was a little boy. I said, Mama, I said, how do you cook collard greens? She said, well, let me tell you something you better do before you ever even think about cooking them. Ask the people where you buy them at. Have they ever been dewed on? Said if they ain't been dewed on, they won't be fitting to eat. I have had some several times that did not have any dew upon them. They were tough. They were bitter. I cooked them and 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 cooked them. They're still tough. Still bitter. But if they've had that dew on, oh, they're so sweet. They're so tender. They're so palatable to the taste. Oh, friend, tonight this old world out here is making us tough. It's making us bitter. We're hard. We're not very appetizing to the world. Oh, but if you get some dew on you, oh, it'll make you sweet. It'll make you tender. It'll make you appetizing to this world. Maybe they would come and taste and see that the Lord, He is good tonight. Oh, would God send the dew upon us? Could I close with this question? Got any dew on you? Preacher, that's my message tonight. You come.
Well, I think we need to stand for just a minute, Brother Lance, and let's sing something. I don't know about you folks listening tonight. I need the dew on me, don't you?
Yes.
I've been to Mount Hermon, and it's an unusual place. But I want to tell you something. I mean, you may have it one time, but you need it more than that. You need it continually on your life. Amen? Yes. You know something about the dew? It never touched the ground. It was never defiled by the ground. Mm-hmm. Perfect picture of Him. And if I, but I want that deal now, don't you? I'm a candidate for it.
Yes, sir.
The older I get, the more I realize I need it.
Yes, sir.
And not just selfishly, but I want God's people, the church, to have it. Because when it's there, I mean, God will do some marvelous and unusual things outside the norm that you can't explain. Amen. Like what Brother Dana said last night, it got a hold of my heart. He said, if everybody's doing it, usually God ain't in it.
Yes,
we think he's in Jerusalem and he's in Babylon. He's down there. You know, Brother Dana's sitting there. I didn't mean to say this other than that when he's talking about God being in Babylon. You remember the testimony Brother Jerry gave, and Lieutenant Colonel just came from there. He said, Brother Jay, I've been in three wars, Vietnam, Desert Storm, and this one. He said, you know, usually my men would be sitting around playing cards, drinking beer. He said, my officers, and he said, my men were carrying New Testaments in their flat jackets, and they were sitting around having Bible studies. He's been there a long time. He was there before we knew anything about Babylon. But I'm glad he's there, and the witness and testimony of those men. Isn't that wonderful? May not look like we're doing nothing. I'm like Dana, and I'm an old jarhead. I can't help it. It jumps up in me. I want to tell you something.
No.
I want to tell you something. Listen to me, folks. My confidence is not in our military as much as I love it.
Yes.
It's in our God. Amen. When he went ahead and they just sang and shouted, they didn't have to do anything.
That's right.
I think I'll just tell them guys over just get there and sing Amazing Grace to that crowd. So lady, just go out there and blow the trumpet and sing Amazing Grace. See what all it could do. I want to see what God can do.
Yes.
We need to do. And if we just be honest and say, Lord, I'm a candidate tonight. Yeah. It'll change your life. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your ministry. It'll change your kids. I had a person say, well, you know, how would I get my husband or my kid back? And they said, well, will you pray for him? And I said, I'd be glad to. But I said, what about you? I said, you know what I'd do? I'd get Isaiah 58 out, and I'd read it from verse 6, the rest of it. I'd lock myself in a closet. I wouldn't put a bite of food in my mouth until God showed up and did what he wanted to do. And then I'd come out. And say, well, that'll cost me something. Exactly right. You get to do then. And proof of the fact that he's still God. Once you try it, it worked.
Praise God. Would you turn with us to page 264? 264. I come to the garden.